Greetings. My name is Alice Jansen, and it's a pleasure for me to welcome you to the Strategic Panel on ICANN Multi-Stakeholder Innovation Webinar. Before we begin, I'd like to briefly remind all participants of housekeeping items. This webinar is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. The session is being streamed via the Adobe Connect room. If you intend to voice comments or questions during the Q&A, please join the Adigo Bridge. Your lines are currently muted and will be muted throughout the presentation. You may submit questions or comments via the Adobe Connect chat pod during the presentation. At the end of the presentation, you will be given the opportunity to voice your comments and questions during the Q&A. All lines will be unmuted for the Q&A. If you are on the bridge, please remember to mute your computer speakers once the floor is open to avoid echo. If you wish to speak during the Q&A, please raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room to be added to the queue. Should you not be speaking, please mute your line using star 6. Dial star 7 to unmute. The slides, recording, and transcript will be made available following the session. You may find the housekeeping indications in the Adobe Connect notes pod. With that, we'll turn to Beth Novick, Strategy Panel Chair.
Greetings. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, whatever time zone you might be in. We appreciate your taking the time to participate in this webinar about the Multi-Stakeholder Innovation Strategy Panel. This is, for us, not a final but such an interim conversation in which we hope to brief you on where we are at in our deliberations, discussions, and research, let you know more about what we've heard and learned, and to point you to the initial proposals that we have put up in draft online about which we very much want your feedback and help. So let me first turn to and thank the members of our panel for joining us. I'll ask them to introduce themselves on the phone. I believe Joey Ito, why don't we start with you, if you would be so kind as to introduce yourself and to tell us about you and give us a few words on the panel by way of introduction.
Yes, my name is Joey Ito. I served on the ICANN board for 3 years, many years ago. I'm currently the director of the MIT Media Lab and serve on a number of boards like the Knight Foundation, MacArthur Foundation, Sony, and the New York Times. And I have obviously a deep interest in international affairs as well, and have been sort of peripherally working on ICANN issues since I've left the board, but I'm very interested in re-engaging and trying to help move this to the next phase, as we had all hoped when I was working on the board.
Thank you. Allison?
Hello. Allison Gilwald from Research ICT Africa, which is a Africa-wide ICT policy and regulatory research network. We have been primarily involved with sort of far more basic issues of national telecom and broadcasting governance, have become increasingly involved, I suppose, during the IGF years with issues of global governance and the position of Africa within those contexts, particularly in with regard to multi-stakeholderism. I also have a professorship at the University of Cape Town, Management of Infrastructure Reform Program, and some of our research on global governance is also done through that, in that context. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff Mulgan, are you on the phone?
Yeah, hi there. So I'm Jeff Mulgan. I currently run an organization in the UK called NESTA, which is the National Endowment for Science, Technology and the Arts. I've got a background both working in governments and in social innovation, social entrepreneurship, and so on. And I guess just very interested in how you design organizations and structures and governance and get them to work. But I don't know a huge amount about ICANN.
Now you do. More than you knew before. And we also have on the line, but listening in, Guo Liang in China due to the late hour and small sleeping children. He's going to participate, I hope, through the chat room, so you look for him by text. If you want to introduce yourself there, Guo, if you can and want to speak, we'd love to hear from you, but we understand if you are going to participate in the chat room, which will, I think, afford people anyway a chance to talk more with you. And I believe Stefan Verhulst, the Director of Research for GovLab, is also in the chat room and will be participating in the conversation. Kareem, are you on the phone? So Kareem Lakhani, professor at Harvard Business School, innovation expert, unfortunately couldn't join us today. Vitange Ndemo, a former Minister of Communications of Kenya, also trying to join in and may still join the call. We're having some telecommunications difficulties trying to connect with him. But we're really grateful to all the illustrious members of the panel who've given of their time to serve over the last many months and weeks to participate in this important exercise. Let me also invite to introduce themselves, those who are sitting with me here in New York.
Anthony DeClercq. I'm a research fellow here at the GovLab, and I've been supporting the strategy panel with research support over the past few months.
And I'm Jillian Rains, and I am a legal and policy fellow here at the GovLab and also providing research support to the panel.
Great. Thank you, everybody. I'll ask people to please chime in actively in the conversation. So as you know, and as is reiterated on the slide, in the first slide in the slide deck that's been circulated, we were given the charge and the charter this summer by Fadi Chahade back in July to try to propose new models for how ICANN can conduct international engagement, consensus-driven policymaking, and what are the institutional structures that it might create to support such enhanced functions. And specifically, we were asked not only to think about institutional redesign, but to also think about the internal practices, processes, culture, and other changes that might be brought to bear to help realize the values of ICANN and of a free and open internet, and to help think about what it means to govern a shared public resource like the DNS in a participatory and open fashion, what essentially a 21st century institution looks like and how we take advantage of the new tools and techniques that are available to us today, very much thanks to the same technology, to enable us to govern more effectively. As all of us know, this is a holy grail. This is a question that not only ICANN is wrestling with, but every government and NGO and other organization around the world is trying to think about is how to update and upgrade and render its systems and processes and institutions of governance both more effective and more legitimate. So let me just say a little bit and invite the team to help us say a little bit about how we went about this process. Many of you may already be familiar with this, but what we've tried to do is to make this a very open and consultative process consistent with the values and suggestions that we're trying to make for ICANN itself. We initially ran during December and launched at the Buenos Aires meeting back in the end of November. We launched the beginning of a three-stage consultation process, the first one of which was to generate ideas, to simply put out a blank slate and ask people what ideas do they have for how to create a 21st century ICANN. We created some guidelines and some suggestions, but we left it very much open-ended in an effort to hear from people what was on their mind, ideas that would be relevant to our panel, many ideas that were suggested that might be relevant and provide input for some of the other panels. But we wanted to hear from people both within and outside of the ICANN community. And we complemented that with interviews, with background research, and with a lot of work, particularly thanks to Jill and to Anthony and their efforts, to try to get in as many ideas as possible for the panel's consideration to allow us to get to the second stage, where we are at today. And this is all portrayed in the graphic that you have in the slide, the three-stage brainstorm slide that you'll have in front of you now. So we're now at the stage that most of you have been waiting for to say, come up with a draft. Tell us what your proposals are. Tell us what your suggestions are. And we've now put this up today online for your feedback and reaction, and we very, very much want to know how can we enhance this? What can we improve? How can we deepen the ideas that we've suggested? What other ideas, now that people can read these, do they call to mind? What are the suggestions that people have for how to create this 21st century ICANN? I want to point everybody to the govlab.org. Again, that's the govlab, govlab.org. And you will find the very first post that's up there and that's linked to is titled The Quest for a 21st Century ICANN, a Blueprint, in which what we have done is to lay out a summary of the process, of the goals of this process, and 16 specific proposals, in brief, that we are putting forward at this second stage of the process for how ICANN might constitute itself in ways that are effective, legitimate, and evolving. The idea, just in terms of process now, is to take each of these 16 and flesh them out in short proposals that we will put up one every few days, on which we will actively solicit feedback and comment. So we'll be taking each of the short paragraphs you see here and turning them into a much longer draft for input and comment, with an eye towards then putting up a final draft of the committee's report in February, which again we will ask for help in the drafting and in the comments and come back to you for more input before we submit a final product, if you will, that reflects and represents the committee's deliberations. So we're very grateful to everybody who's given input into this and to helping us get us to this point. So we will, let me just say one last word about the proposal blueprint and what guides it, and then turn it over to members of our panel to help share with you more about what some of the proposals are and what motivates them. We tried really to think about and to frame our work around the concept of what really it is, what are the key principles of a 21st century global organization. We try, and you'll go ahead to the slide, Alice, that's called The Quest for a 21st Century ICANN, the Proposal Blueprint. You'll see that we tried to bucket these proposals into three large containers, if you will. One is that any kind of public interest organization in the 21st century has to be effective. The work that it does has to work. It has to be able to solve the problems, make the decisions, do the work that it's set out to do in ways that actually solve the problems in front of it. And we've outlined under that a series of values that we think are consistent with what it means to be an effective organization, to be smart, to be transparent, to be agile, and to be cost-effective and efficient in how the organization works. At the same time, to be a 21st century organization, one has to not only be effective, one not only has to solve problems, but has to do so in ways that are legitimate, that are inclusive, that are accountable, and that abide by the principles of subsidiarity, making decisions at the lowest possible level in the most decentralized way possible to achieve the best possible outcomes. And finally, and this is, I think, perhaps one of the most important of the three, is that any institution has to be evolving. We have to approach this with a spirit of humility and a spirit of experimentalism. We don't know yet what works well. We don't fully have all the evidence to help us understand how opening up data or opening up contracts or using expert networks or, frankly, engaging in participatory processes helps to create, to solve problems and make decisions better. And so we have to measure what works. We have to approach things from a perspective of pilots and experiments. We have to try new things and to be constantly vigilant about how we can improve what we do over the course of time. And so, again, under evolving, we've said we need to be experimental and we also have to be learning. We have to be using data and use it to track what works and what doesn't and be committed to a process of evolution, enhancement, and organizational reform on a constant basis. So as I've already mentioned and is outlined on the next slide, we're going to flesh out each of the shorter proposals that you see in this summary document into 1 to 2 page proposals, and then we're going to put them up on a wiki for further comment. So let me pause here for a moment, and I want to first see if there are any urgent questions in the chat room. Invite people if they have any comments or questions. We're following the chat on the back channel. But what I want to do is to invite folks from the panel itself to share with us a little bit of their perspective on the proposals that are in here, on some of the pilots and proposals that we've suggested. So I think if Jeff is on the phone, maybe we'll start with the one on crowdsourcing oversight and developing metrics. We can come back to some of the others, but I'd like to get in some of the voices from the panel on the phone first. So if I can start with Jeff to talk about crowdsourcing oversight and then to turn to Allison to talk about some of the inclusiveness proposals that are in here.
Hello?
Hi, sorry, I've only just rejoined the call. I've dropped off, so it might be worth going to someone else first.
That's fine. Why don't we turn then to Allison, if you're still there? Do we have you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Great. So, Allison, if you want to tell us a little bit, there's a proposal in here about how to be more inclusive and then thus more legitimate by broadening participation at every stage of decision-making. I'm hoping you can share with us a little bit about this value of this principle of legitimacy, the values that flow from it, and some of the proposals that we're suggesting. We'd love to bring in your voice on the call.
Thank you very much. I suppose the thing that struck me most about the proposals was, and I suppose it's not that surprising, was how many of the solutions or proposed solutions were IT tool focused. And I think some of them are very exciting, and I think it would have been very nice to have Jeff talk about some of the exciting crowdsourcing proposals and mechanisms for participation. And I think many of those tools in terms of opening up the technical aspects of the organization in terms of, I'm talking of things like procurement and, expert advice and that kind of thing, opening up that sort of stuff online, there's a lot of potential there. I say that I was struck by how little or how few I thought human engagements and human kind of solutions were present was precisely because of the issues that we're dealing with. So the issues of legitimacy, but also, of course, based on greater transparency, greater accountability, the issues that the multi-stakeholder panel is trying to deal with. So I think there are lots of really exciting ICT mechanisms or tools or instruments to overcome some of the problems of simply being a virtual organization with virtual structures in many ways. But I think what we really need to do is find ways of addressing the sort of human dimensions of ownership and participation and legitimacy within the organization. And I think my concern was that there were assumptions, firstly, simply at the purely connectivity level about people being able to respond to those opportunities. So I think the kind of people who can, just be on tap, just from a connectivity point of view, an affordability of connectivity point of view, even our own communications have been so interrupted by poor connectivity. So I just thought some of those assumptions, firstly, that people had the connectivity, secondly, that people would feel comfortable with that as a way to discuss quite hard issues, was limiting for that kind of thing. So I think the tools are great. I think they can do certain things, but I certainly don't think they, on their own, can address the really hard issues, the big issues that we need to deal with. And so in discussion with some very informally and, again, sort of virtual calls and virtual conferences with local groups, including APC, Association for Progressive Communication, Google's local office here, some university colleagues across the country and across the continent. We really came to the conclusion that perhaps a really obvious and not really remarkable or extraordinary way of doing this would be for ICANN, simply because without replicating all these other, large UN-type organizations, bring people together physically to engage, to debate, to account to them, to consult them, to allow them to set agendas, would be extraordinarily costly and would duplicate what's being done elsewhere. So the idea was that potentially ICANN could more formally support multi-stakeholder processes like the IGF, who are anyway struggling with making multi-stakeholders relevant by, you know, having decision-making powers and ensuring outcomes. So, you know, it's a very nice talk shop, but, you know, it would also strengthen it to be able to contribute directly to global governance structures and institutions like ICANN. So if ICANN could formally support attendance by those currently marginalized from attendance at these meetings, and I use marginalized in a very sort of loose sense here, but more kind of filling the gaps, because in some parts of these multilateral agencies, there's civil society missing. In some parts, civil society is overrepresented, and you've got governments missing. And then, in perhaps fewer cases, you've got private sector missing. But really, sort of working to try and fill those gaps, but then claiming some space in these meetings to formally engage on ICANN issues, pertinent issues that you want to raise, maybe thematic issues that you want to raise. Get feedback on those, and then use these ongoing forums to give feedback to account on what has happened within ICANN, institutionally, structurally, process-wise, mechanisms, whatever the issue related to, at regular meetings. And so sort of claim a space within these multi-stakeholder forums to engage people and account and solicit views and opinions and also account. That was one of the ideas.
Allison, many, many thanks. And I want to particularly call out and thank you for your service. We are very lucky, particularly, as you pointed out at the beginning, given how many ideas we received from the public and how many ideas we had internally that are heavily technological and that spoke to this idea of how to take advantage of new tools, that you're also helping us to think about how to use new tools to be more inclusive and to improve how we work offline as well as online and reach those who are the hardest to reach and include them in the process. So I really want to thank you for that and for bringing this perspective. Why don't we quickly now turn to Jeff and then to Joey. Jeff, to talk maybe about one of the other specific proposals, and we'll try to cover just one or two more, and then we'll wrap up our portion of things and turn it over to your questions, comments, and concerns. Jeff, you ready?
Hi. Well, maybe if I could make a comment which applies to several of them, including the measures of success, participatory budgeting, and so on. I think there's an extra layer needed in many of these. At the moment, they're proposed as sort of as completely open crowdsourcing or indeed participation prototypes, which I think risks applying a method that works in a geographical community that probably doesn't work for anything global, and that it might be better to think of the different key communities who have a stake and how do you reach each of them separately using these methods and then aggregate. So taking measures of success, there will be a number of different groups for whom different metrics matter. They will range from people very much on the technology side to businesses to governments to enthusiastic citizens. If you mix them all together in any process, you have a big risk that a particular group will massively distort the findings or gain the process and so on. So the usual lesson of these are multi-stakeholder things is you need some of the boundary lines around them. You can, within, therefore, a business group or a concerned citizens group have an entirely, people can volunteer then to take part in discussion groups and kick around different metrics. But if you aggregate too much, you get actually a lot of noise and distortion. That applies even more to budgetary decisions, where a completely open participatory budgeting process will almost certainly be captured by a very small number of vested interests, whereas, say, a better way of thought would be to do a more orchestrated, more managed process with, as I say, the five or six key groups, and then you need a capacity for synthesizing, And as was just said, a lot of that synthesis probably has to, well, the first step has to involve a bit of conscious outreach to the groups who otherwise definitely won't take part. If you just sort of build this and expect people to come, you'll get, you know, certain groups will come and others won't. And then, I'd say, a fairly active process of synthesis. So with quite a few of the things in this list, I think they need more disaggregation by community, and probably as well disaggregation by type of question, because there will be certain topics which are very well suited to very open processes, and others which aren't, either because of their technical complexity or because of the power interests involved. And I think that's the next step, is to almost define literacies for each of these.
Thank you very much. And now, I think let me, well, in the interest of time, I think what I'll do is let me turn it to Joey to sort of give us his reflections, either on the specifics or just generally on the principles and the values and the process that we've set out to get his thoughts, and then we'll start to move into a Q&A.
Thanks, Beth. So generally, I think the direction is great, and I would rather maybe make a comment on kind of the framing of the importance of this. I think that in a funny way, ICANN has spent a lot of time trying to stay, I mean, just to be blunt, kind of to be the independent thing and not end up under UN and ITU, and sort of has been working on a very tough problem in a non-intergovernmental way. But I think as we look at the governments trying to rebuild themselves after Arab Spring, and we look at a lot of the failures in international relations and just the complexity of the world, the connected world, and the sort of breakdown of the idea of sovereign states and statesmen negotiating with each other through diplomatic channels, I think that we have the opportunity to really be a model for how all kinds of things get discussed and settled. And so I think that, you know, in a way, I think we have a very important role coming up with a solution for governance in general that other people can use. I think that one of the things, I mean, in some of these proposals, I think a few things that are key is, for instance, the idea of agile. You think about how legislation and treaties are currently put together, and some of the things that we learn about how do we do design process, how do you refactor, and how do you use software and internet, things like liquid democracy and things like that. I don't think we should be building a lot of the technology. I think a lot of the technology is out there, but I think if we're the first to implement it in a practical way, I think that these, and obviously, Beth, I'm preaching to the choir because this is something that you already do as your day job. But I think that framing this experiment that we're doing in the context of the future of governance more broadly is very important, and also sort of interoperating with the tools that are being used and experimented with in some of the country building as well as the international relations work is essential. And I know you're doing that, but I just wanted to sort of call that out.
I don't think we can say it often enough, so I think it's a really important contribution. I will just sort of wrap up the proposals, this discussion of proposals, by mentioning again that we've put up the summary of the 16 initial proposals. These are by no means set in stone. We need to hear, now that you read them, I'm hoping that people will come up with 20 more or to help us take 5 off the list. But to help with that process, what we're doing is starting by posting 2 pages, taking each of the paragraphs and turning them into initial proposals. And we're going to put 3 up online today, one of which will focus on the crowdsourcing discussion that you heard about from Jeff, a second that will focus on some of the inclusivity and accountability proposals you heard about from Allison, and a third will focus on the idea of how we might use expert networking technology. If you think about tools like a LinkedIn or other platforms that allow us to identify and make searchable people's credentials, skills, expertise, and interests, how we might use these new tools to help us give ICANN and other organizations access to the best possible expertise to solve problems when they need them. The possibility of using expert networks, for example, to connect the global computer science and engineering community, a much broader cohort of engineers and computer scientists and others than currently participate today, into the process to ensure that when decisions are made, they are done with the best technical expertise possible, and therefore enhancing not only how smart ICANN can be as an organization, but also how legitimate it can be. So we'll put up those three proposals. And now let me turn you to the final slide in the presentation and ask Jill if she would like to say a word about the process before we, and what we are hoping to hear from people before we turn it over to your questions and comments.
Yes, thank you. So as Beth indicated, we'll be sharing these initial proposals up online today, and we've sort of articulated here some initial questions that we think could help move the discussion forward. But I'd like to say that one of the things that we would really benefit from going forward is the idea of taking some of the proposals we've suggested and working with you and the community to figure out where makes the most sense to try some of these ideas out and how can we marry them to ICANN's day-to-day practices. So these initial questions on the slide reflect some of the questions we have as to how to do that, but we would also just generally like to hear ideas that you have. I encourage you to go to the posts that are up and will be up shortly. Of course, we recognize that you'll probably appreciate a little bit of time to digest those and review them, and we're happy to reach out in other capacities to try to get your ideas in on a timeline that makes it a little bit more convenient for you. But we also encourage you to go and share comments on the blog. We also have enabled an annotation feature, which allows you to comment or react, just saying that something seems problematic or something seems like a great idea. Things like that are enabled on the blogs that hopefully you can experiment with and play around with, and it will offer the community a chance to provide feedback in a new way.
So with that said, what's the process now for turning it over to questions and comments? They're going to come in through, do we moderate them or?
Yes, we will now open the floor and ask for the lines to be unmuted, and we will refer to the hands raised in the Adobe Connect room to create a queue. Operator, could you please unmute the line?
Listen-only mode is now off.
Right.
Beth, I believe we have a question from Mickey O'Connor.
Please.
Right.
Thanks, all. It's Mikey O'Connor. Mickey's the mouse. I think this was great, folks. It's a tremendous lunge forward from the fairly unformed ideas that I was looking at on IdeaLab's site, so hats off to all of you on that. I want to pick off sort of one theme that Allison touched on and I really want to amplify, which is that this process up till now has felt very tools-focused. And I'm really glad to hear Allison's point that much of this isn't going to be about tools. I think tools can help, but goals first, please. And so I'm going to paste a little blog post into the chat right now. And as bait, I will tell you that it's quite cold here in Minnesota, and you can look at the thermometer on that blog post if you want. This is something I submitted to this group in an earlier form and wanted to bring it into the record now. It's talking about how we develop people. And I want to amplify something that I think Jeff said, which is that there is a layer between the hardcore and the whole world that we need to develop. And this slide that I've just posted into the chat is sort of describing the process by which those people get developed, and most of that is not going to happen primarily because of technology. It's going to be hard work, person to person, and if we can focus on that, I think that would be great. Thanks all.
All right. Thank you very much.
Benny, thanks.
Bye-bye.
It seems like we have a next question relating to, by Ivan Leibovich, what mechanisms are being considered to connect some of these ideas to the current ICANN reality? I think one of the things that we're trying to do is, hopefully by posting these initial ideas, get some ideas from you as to how we can connect some of them as closely as possible to the practices that are underway at ICANN today, trying to figure out which groups or key individuals would present the best opportunity to try some of these things out. That is one of the things that we are hoping to take it one step further.
We have to apologize because utterly unexpectedly there appears to be a fire drill going on in the background. So what you may be hearing, the fire warden speaking over the loudspeaker, this was unpredicted and, alas, unavoidable, but we'll try to minimize the noise on our end. Do we have a next question or comment in the virtual or the real world? So there was another question that came in during the course of the back channel chat, which asked about opportunities and times and occasions in which we're going to present this work. I think again the important thing is that now we're going to have this hopefully active discussion online to try to flesh out these proposals and to bring them into a more final draft stage, and then we are absolutely amenable and open to presenting at future and further ICANN meetings and at other fora, and hopefully members of the panel will be speaking about the work over the course of the coming months. So we welcome and suggestions for when are good times to share and with what audiences, and we'll be definitely talking and working with ICANN staff to be sure that we disseminate the work of the panel broadly. We'll also be sending out updates and notices when new postings go up. So as we post these individual 2 to 3 pagers about the specific proposals, we'll make sure that people get notified when new posts go up. And while I'm also talking about mail going out, I also want to commend to people that on a weekly basis, the GovLab, as a result of the research we're doing for the process, we're sharing with folks what we're learning, and we put up every week something we call the scan, which is the selected curation of articles in net governance, which you can subscribe to from the homepage. If you don't get already enough news about ICANN, if you'd like to get yet another compilation of really cool and articles that we think are worth reading, we want to point you to that. We've already put out our 11th issue, 12th one going out today, and we invite you to sign up from the homepage.
We have Maria Farrell in the Adobe Connect room wishes to speak. Maria?
Hi, thanks, Alice. This is Maria Farrell here. I have a comment in response to the question, are there deficiencies in how you see ICANN practicing multi-stakeholder governance that you think we should consider and we haven't? And I would say, yes, I absolutely do. I think a lot of the proposals, while they seem in the draft paper, while they seem admirable on the surface, would seem to exacerbate a lot of the structural inequalities that we see with the current multi-stakeholder governance model. And let me give you an example. A lot of the proposals are about liquid democracy or about crowdsourcing or basically about your ability to put a lot of people in responding to a particular issue. Now, in my experience as on the ICANN staff for 5 years and as a community member, I can tell you there are far greater capabilities of some of the business groups to get people around the world to respond on a particular issue than there are, for example, those of us who are campaigning on the human rights end of things. We're simply not as well financially resourced. And so when you talk about crowdsourcing and getting lots of people, I see something that sounds, on the face of it, superficially to sound democratic, and it sounds like it makes the right noises, but actually what it could really end up doing is amplifying already what are great inequalities in people's abilities to participate effectively. So I think that is a real, real problem. And unfortunately, this, the proposals that I see here really run the risk of exacerbating that. And I think it comes from failure to look, take a very long, hard and ugly look at some of the fundamental structural problems that we have in ICANN, in that those of us who are looking at things from a human rights perspective have a great disadvantage when it comes to time, money and the ability to coordinate. And so a lot of the proposals here, I think they might sound nice in a sort of a lofty technocratic way, where the only problem you have is simply to aggregate or to synthesize people's, you know, the wishes of a community that would like to find an answer. I think in reality, we have winners and we have losers, and the losers typically are the people who do not have the resources and the channels to go around and end run around ICANN decisions to the U.S. Department of Commerce or to U.S. Congress. And so there's not much I see here that is going to help us fix that problem. So I really like the panel to look at that, particularly when you talk about should we organize by topic rather than constituency. Well, organizing around issues makes it a lot harder for those of us that already have a hard time participating to really get our voices heard, because it would just be drowned out by the astroturf. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Next in the queue is Ken Stubbs.
Thank you very much. My comments are tempered by approximately 17 years in the ICANN community. First of all, let's start out with my concerns about the elaborations being far too esoteric and not as practical as they need to be. Secondly, I'm concerned that the solution may be treated in such a way as we're not going to do anything until we can do everything at one time. I think from a practical standpoint, we need to start by taking baby steps, implementing, and, you know, from a practical standpoint, as these steps are taken and the implementation is put in place, we're going to find that occasionally we will have made mistakes and allow us for the opportunity for mid-course correction. The other thing I'm very concerned about, and I'm not as deeply involved as others here on the IGF issues, is I don't want this thing to turn into an ITU timeline type situation. I, frankly, as a member of the community, expect results on a timely basis. If I have to wait till the annual meeting for the year 2015 before I see anything concrete and any specific implementation plan, I'm going to be very disappointed. I won't be the only one, because what that does is allow for back channels to be created and end-around processes to be created to try to accomplish what you guys, frankly, should be able to accomplish in a practical time period. And the final suggestion is the problem of outreach. I sympathize with Maria. I think ICANN is going to have to develop a way of getting input in a practical way and coalescing more often than once every four months. If that means you have to have regional meetings, then let's start working on budget items for that. I would much prefer to see a regional meeting in parts of the world where there are difficulties and there are challenges, such as in Africa and in certain areas as well, and give them an opportunity to communicate directly with the relevant people. In other words, take your panel where you can hear the people. Thank you very much for hearing me out.
Many thanks. We will.
Thank you.
Let's keep going with taking to get as many comments as possible, and then we'll save a few minutes at the end for members of the panel to, you know, offer any further replies.
Thank you. The next person in the queue is Elliot Knopf.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. I have two things that I wanted to put into the discussion. The first was a question perhaps you can answer when I finish, which is, you know, will any or some or all of you be in Singapore, and have you spoken to staff about getting a slot during the week to present and discuss some of these ideas? The second thing I wanted to inject into the conversation was a very specific thought. You know, we're talking about some of Maria's concerns in the chat now, and I don't want to bring that into the audio, but you know, I do want to suggest, when you're talking about connecting some of these proposals to the actual work that's going on inside of ICANN today, you know, I think it would be fantastic if we could take a working group, and you know, there are many going on at any one time, and perhaps use some of the simpler principles in liquid democracy and put them into practice in a working group, and perhaps not even in a, you know, certainly not in a binding way, but just in an informative way. You know, I think that with all of these things, you know, especially with something like liquid democracy, there are not real existence proofs in the world. And, you know, what we would need to be doing inside of an ICANN context with that or any other new forms of governance is, you know, we've got to find places to practice. And I mean, you know, in particular, I'd love to, and, you know, Mikey, you and I maybe can talk a little bit about this in Singapore or before. You know, Mikey is king of the working groups, and I'm sure that he could help us all, you know, to connect some of these ideas to the actual work going on. Thank you. And if I could, you know, get perhaps a specific answer on the Singapore attendance question.
I've been asked to interject here. Just very briefly to the specific question. Yes, we are planning to participate. We'll be talking, as we'll see over the next few weeks as the discussion evolves online, what are the optimal ways to participate in upcoming meetings, but that's the plan right now. And very much, you know, given the timeline of these panels, I mean, first of all, the work we've done is very much informed by the specifics of ICANN, how ICANN works today and what the specifics of practice are, but how then the proposals get re-linked in back to what it means for the evolution of ICANN will need to be obviously a more detailed and longer-term process that happens in the coming weeks after these panels have to end. They have a fairly short timeline, and so the specifics for each one will start the process of beginning to work out what those could be in the discussion around these blog posts now, but the assumption is that will have to continue going forward after the end of the multi-stakeholder strategy panels happens over the next few weeks. But yes, we plan to participate in Singapore and other meetings.
Thank you. The next person in the queue is Olivier Crépin-Lebrun. Olivier?
Thank you very much. It's Olivier Crépin-Lebrun speaking. Can you hear me?
We can hear you in New York.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. So just a few points, basically. First, I must say I'm a full supporter of the work that you guys are doing. I think that one of the things that ICANN hasn't done in so many years is to start thinking outside of the box, and this really definitely, the strategy panels and so on, is all about thinking outside of the box. So it's about time that someone looks at those issues and tries to find some solutions or at least suggest some solutions and so on. I'm in full support of Maria Farrell's comments, what she described as some of the challenges that you're going to find with the proposals that you're making, assuming that most people are interested, are able to, not only are interested, but do they know about the issues? Do they understand the issues? Do they care about the issues? Do people have the ability to take part, the technical ability to take part, the fact the world is round, this sort of thing? Languages, I think, is something that I would actually add as being a major problem. And I'm a bit concerned that your panel is primarily U.S. and European-based, and very few people from Asia, from Africa, and from Latin America being able to provide you with the feedback that you need on the cultural side of things. We're all assuming that people are vocal and are going to talk and get involved and so on, and alas, it doesn't quite work this way in some parts of the world. So that's a concern I have. At the same time, I also have a concern regarding crowdsourcing, and I think that Elliot Noss expressed this in the chat, reminding us of the dark days of ballot stuffing, which happened in the past. And I hope that you're not thinking that we can go back to this and suddenly have a free-for-all, everyone on the same level input into the system, which results in some kind of cacophony, and therefore the more powerful people being able to speak louder than the others whose points of view are totally then falling over by the wayside. And of course, when I mean most powerful speakers, I also mean with regards to the funding of those people being able to come to ICANN meetings, being able to spend a lot more time on issues than people who are not directly involved with this. And then finally, I also wanted to comment on a danger of thinking that technology will save the day. Technology is a tool, and involvement is actually a social matter. So I would really suggest to the panel to look at the social matter that brings the involvement or doesn't bring the involvement. The technology is something that unfortunately is different in different parts of the world, and whilst in Western Europe and in North America there might be a very fast broadband and good telecommunications, in other parts of the world, by now, we've been for nearly an hour on the call, by now they would have had their call dropped for at least 10 to 15 times, which makes it a lot harder to take part. That's it. Thank you.
So we have a few minutes left. Why don't we see if we can get a few more comments, and then we can move the discussion online, in large part because we've had you on mute because the fire alarm has been blaring in the background here. So we don't know if we'll be able to make ourselves heard, but let's see if there's one more comment, and then I'll ask Joey and Jeff and Allison if they have any parting words, and then we'll move the discussion online to the blog. In the comment section there, and then hopefully we can get some robust and open discussion going and keep it going in between this and future calls and meetings. Is there one more interjection or anybody waiting in the queue?
No.
Well, then let me ask, apropos of the comments, I think, Allison, are you back or are you disconnected? I think we might have lost her. Let me see if Jeff has any closing words or Joey. Before we wrap up.
This is Joey. I can make a few comments if that's okay.
Please. We're going to go back to mute here.
So while I appreciate some of the concerns raised about the difficulty of voting and the not relying on the tools, I do think that, and I think Elliot posted this in the chat, a lot of the concerns about inclusiveness and engagement are being studied and addressed by both technical researchers and others. I think Jim Fishkin's deliberative polling, where you take a random sample and you force people to deliberate, has shown really interesting results. I think then folding that in with some of the concerns that Liquid Democracy is trying to test, I think is definitely worth a test. Maybe we don't want to connect it directly to the main jugular at the beginning, but we have a lot of issues at ICANN that we need to discuss, and I think at the Media Lab we have a Center for Civic Media and civic engagement, engaging those people in places that don't typically engage is, we have dozens of projects working in the space, And I, you know, it's an area of huge innovation, and there's a lot of funding going into it now. So I think that just kind of writing off using new tools to establish connections with people who aren't normally engaged, I think is, again, I don't know. I think connecting it to the mainstream right away may be difficult, but I think using it with a working group or something like that, I think may yield a lot of learning. And I think we can also create a lot of data because we have real issues that can feed back to the community of academics and researchers that are working on different forms of governance. So I think experimentation, capturing the learnings, and trying it out on different parts of ICANN is something that would contribute to us as well as to the community.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So I think unless there are further concluding remarks from members of the panel, in the interest of time, it's now we've gone the full hour. And I want to thank people for their active participation. I want to thank also the ICANN staff for helping us to organize and set this up and allow us to speak with you. We will circulate again the links to the posts as they come out, but you can find the first one on thegovlab.org. You are welcome and encouraged, please, to steal and repost and put out links to it. Most important, though, we want to have an open and frank conversation and to get your comments and feedback. The post that's up now is the 16 overviews, and we are putting up three somewhat more in-depth proposals, again, as a first foray into an ongoing conversation about how to transition from idea to actual practice and implementation for ICANN. Thank you very much to everybody for participating, and we will make ourselves available online and in person to do this again. And thank you very much for your feedback.